Here we go. Well, let's do a little bit of a cappella on this then. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. My title today is Wonderful Things in the Bible I See. I want to remind you about your Bible today. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. But the Bible is not magic. It's logos. Its Greek word is for the word. In the beginning was the logos, and the logos was God, and the logos was with God. It's the Greek word for the word. But the Bible is logos. It isn't magic. Now, I want to just get this one little point over to you. Some people, even Christians, use the Bible as if it was magic. You know, abracadabra. I just have to say this one word and everything works my way. I just have to say this one word and everything is all right. The Bible is the written word of God. God has given it to us. It has been recorded faithfully over thousands of years, and we have got over 6,000 ancient copies of Scripture. And of those 6,000, some of them are fragmentary, some of them are complete, but we can go back and we can carbon date them, and we have got some from the 2nd century, so that's like AD 125, 150, that sort of era. We have got copies of our scriptures from then, and we can trace them all back, and we know what the original said. The original was Old Testament Hebrew with a bit of Aramaic, New Testament Greek, and we know what it said. We've also got the 2nd century BC Septuagint, which was the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. And we know we've got that complete. And you can even buy English translations of the Septuagint. Yeah. So there are lots of ways we have got this word recorded. It has been kept for us. But the words on the page are not magic. The scriptures have to be mixed with faith to work. The scriptures are not just a matter of saying things. Because if they were, anybody could plug in to God's power and wield it in an unfortunate manner. But the word of God are words from God. They're not magical phrases. They're not things that we just say that make things right. We have a heavenly father, not a heavenly godmother. We are not looking for magical rites. We are looking for the word of God to be manifest in this world, which is for the kingdom of God to come. Who's believing for the kingdom of God to come? The kingdom of God is coming, people. And speaking the word of God is part of the way that we connect other people to God's message and other people get connected to the kingdom of God. What does it tell us in Mark's gospel when Jesus turned upon the scene? He began talking about the kingdom of God. And it's one of the fundamental messages of the gospel. The Bible are words. Words that have been preserved faithfully. It's funny that with over 6,000 original manuscripts, people criticise the Bible as we don't know where it came from. And yet, for centuries, you have been able to study at university Tacitus. Tacitus, a Greek scholar, and he is still taught at university, and yet there is only one original document extant, still there. It's only one. And yet we have taught him at university for years. I have never heard anybody criticize the works of Tacitus as being false or made up. And yet there's only one original. And yet people lay this charge against Christians and their Bible. Why is that? Because people would rather not hear from God. They would happily hear from Tacitus. They would happily hear many other philosophies. They're never going to reject Buddha, but they want to reject God. And our Bible is a way in which God reaches out to us and connects with us. So the Bible is something that we apply in our lives, and it's like, I'm trying to think of the word for when Isaiah went to Hezekiah and he had that horrible boil, and he said, put a poultice, thank you, my wife. You see, all I have to do is look at my wife. She knows what I'm thinking. The Bible is like a poultice. You have to apply it. You have to apply it. Otherwise, it does no good. Having a Bible on your shelf does no good. I once went to visit a gentleman who had an excellent bookcase. And when I come to anyone's house, I always have a look at the books. I also have a look at the CDs. I look at the DVDs. In fact, I just look at things. But I really gravitate to their bookcases. But I went in and I looked at his books, and he had a Bible on the bookshelf. And I said to him, I see you have a Bible on your bookshelf. He said, no. I said, yeah, it's over there. Oh, I didn't know I had that, he said. And you know something? If we just have it on the bookshelf and we don't know we have it, and we don't open it, and we don't read it, we cannot apply the poultice to the boil on our life. And we can't receive what God has. It's not a magical amulet that we have hanging from our wrist or round our neck. It's not a Saint Christopher that people used to wear for safety when travelling. It's not about that. It's about what's God got to say. And we have to invite God into our lives. We have to invite his message into our lives. In what Bill read to us one of the 3:16s. You know that if you go through your Bible, the 3:16s are a very interesting study. If you read every book and go to chapter 3, verse 16, I tell you what, it's a great study. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is inspired. Well, what does inspired mean? Well, if I said to you there's in and ex, in is the door in and ex is the exit out, right? What does expired mean? Yeah? If you had somebody in hospital and they had just expired, what would have happened to them? They would have breathed their last breath. When you expire, you breathe your last breath. When you are inspired, the breath of God comes into you. All scripture is breathed by God. That's what it says in the Greek. The Greek translation says, all scripture is God breathed. And that's an amazing thing. Of course, someone has said, well, hang on, no one will know what that means. we'll have to sort of tweak the words a bit. We'll say that all Scripture is inspired by God. And if you understand the English language enough, you get to the point that that means God breathed. But really, this is a Scripture. We should try and get what it really means. It means Scripture is God breathed. When we open our Bibles and we read it aloud to ourselves, when we engage with what the page is saying to us, rather than what the Daily Mail is saying to us, when we engage with that page, the breath of God leaks out the pages into our spirit. There is something else the Bible says that God breathed into. What's that? Man. God breathed into man. And it says, and man became a living being. It's sensible, it's connected, that the inspired word of God should be something that man, who has himself been inspired by God, because God breathed into him, it's sensible that we should connect with the word of God. It really is. It's no wonder that the Bible does things for us that other books don't do. Because just as we have got the breath of God inside us, our Bibles also have the breath of God inside us. And it's just like going for a top-up. A friend of mine this week took me out in his electric car. Very impressive. It's got a range of 85 miles. And he went and picked it up from London and had to stop twice to charge it up to get back here. And he ran out at Bilberry Top, but fortunately, McDonald's had got a charging point. But you know, our electric cars have to be topped up. And our inspired bodies need topping up with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is desperate to leap off the page of our Bible into our hearts and stimulate the spirit within us. You know, the Bible is good news. It's not just literature. Now, listen to me. Some of my studies of the Bible have been about the literature that it is. The Bible is literature. Anything that's on the page is literature. But it isn't just that. It's literature with the breath of God in it. That's what makes it special. Thank God that the Bible is God breathed. God speaks to you from your Bibles by encouragement. How can you read Psalm 51 without being encouraged? That's the one where David comes clean with God and repents about Bathsheba. And you go, you read his words and you think, oh God, I can feel what this man feels. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Don't take your spirit away from me. Psalm 51, it's a great psalm. There are many times I turn to it because in it I see a God of mercy and a God of love reaching out to me. And the words off the page encourage me. They encourage me. How can God say that David was a king after my own heart when he murdered and committed adultery? Isn't God amazing? Isn't God wonderful? What an encouragement that David is one of those men in the Word of God that we learn from his example. And so many examples are there for us. We have the example of Abraham going up the mountain with his son Isaac. His son has got a bundle of firewood strapped to him. And Abraham is going up the mountain. And Abraham has no idea that coming up the other side is a ram. All he knows is there's got to be a sacrifice at the top. And All he can see is what culturally he has been seeing all his life, that people sacrifice their children to their gods. And God wanted to show Abraham, that's not how I work, Abraham. A ram's coming up the other side. So many examples for us how God reaches us where we are and we learn from him. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule is probably better translated as our word arbitrate. Let the peace of God be the arbitrator in your heart. God speaks to us by his peace through his word. As we read his word, sometimes it's the peace of God that settles on us as we're reading the scriptures that tells us which way to go, left or right. If you read in the prophecy of Ezekiel, you'll see he says the king of Babylon comes to a fork in the road and he rips open the gizzard of a goat and he sees whether the innards drop to the left or to the right, and he goes to the way of the gizzard. He goes to the way the giblets fall. That was just the way they did that in those days. But we have something better than that. We have peace. Sometimes I have had to make life-changing decisions. And when I've made that decision, the peace of God has come onto me. I've been reading the scriptures, the peace of God has flooded my being. The peace of God is an amazing way that God speaks to us. Thank God for the peace of God. I know it's not a 3:16, but it's a 3:15. Try remembering that verse, Colossians 3:15. Why not go home and read it and just say, God, would you speak to me by your peace? God speaks to you in simplicity. He speaks to you spirit to spirit. It isn't difficult the way that God speaks to us. This week, I was reading Luke chapter 8 one day, and it said, Jesus said to them, let's get into the boat. Now, sometimes I'll say, Lord, would you speak to me? And really, Lord, I need it detailed. I need to know exactly what I should be doing. And as I opened my Bible and read this, I realized that all Jesus said to his disciples was, let's get into the boat. Because they got into the boat, they met a man called Legion on the other side, and they cast all these demons out of him. And he went about telling so many people about what Jesus had done for him. It says Jesus couldn't go out into the open, into the towns anymore, in the villages. Couldn't do it. Because he was thronged. But Jesus told them what they needed to know. What they needed to know was, let's get in the boat. And I would love God to say to me, let's get into the Nissan Micra and drive 28 miles and open the car door and stand outside and wait for the first person to come to you who will give you a brown paper bag full of money. It's funny that, isn't it? I often think about God coming and giving me money. But all of these things, we want something complex. We want it written out longhand. You know what I mean by that? We don't want a little skimpy note. We want the whole thing. We want the chapter. We want the verse. When actually, often, God speaks to us in simplicity. Chew on that. It's very important. We need to learn about the simplicity with which Jesus speaks to us. He speaks to us spirit to spirit. I've said to you that the spirit is in the Logos. And the spirit is in us. The Spirit speaks to us spirit to spirit. Sometimes it's just a quiet word. It's just like a breath. You know, in Acts chapter 2, it says, and suddenly there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. That word wind is the same word as spirit. It's the same word as breath. And actually, whether you're reading the Old Testament Hebrew or the New Testament Greek, all three meanings reside in the same word. Ruach in the Old Testament, pneuma in the New. This is just a spirit thing. It's like a breath. It's like God comes up to you and he comes next to your ear and he whispers. And all you get is a whisper. But it's enough. Firstly, the fact that you've heard a whisper tells you you've heard God. God has responded. It was only a whisper, but it was a response. God has spoken. And sometimes all we need is that simple spirit to spirit. It's very important that we respond to the word of God, spirit to spirit. God speaks to us by spiritual gifts. Now listen, don't get hung up on this. I have had people say to me, well, Pastor, I'm just waiting for someone to come and prophesy this to me and I'll know it's God. Do you know what? I almost think that God is never going to do that to help you learn you can't demand the prophecy. When God has spoken to me dramatically by prophecy, it's when I've not been expecting one. It's when I've not been listening any other way. And it's no great comment about your life when the only way that God can get through to you is when a passing prophet comes in and stands in front of you and says, thus saith the Lord. It'd be much easier for God if you would listen to the spirit to spirit. If you would get the simplicity of just getting the boat. That's what God wants you to hear. God wants to hear simply from him. Spiritual gifts are important. You know I believe in the power of spiritual gifts. But let's not put them on a pedestal. God will speak to you prophetically. But I think you need to learn his simplicity and his spirit to spirit first. And I think you'll learn more from God that way. You will also listen. You will also gain from the Bible if you listen to preaching. Now, I hope that you would understand more of the Bible when I'm speaking to you. But I can't be speaking to you every day of every moment. We all need to be engaging with our Bibles. Let's open our Bibles. Let's engage with our Bibles. This will change our lives. When we expose our heart to the words on the page, God speaks to us. What do I mean by that? I'm usually reading a Bible in a Year book. You know, it's a book, it's 365 readings, split up one way or another, different versions. I've got half a dozen of them. I rotate them year after year. But it's easy just to go to April the 3rd and read the words on the page. And if you're not careful, you've finished it and yet none of it's sunk in. But because you've turned the pages, you've done your bit for the day. It's easy to take that attitude to the Word of God. But when we're reading our scriptures, we need to be praying, Holy Spirit, will you speak to me? Will you make this Word life to me? And then we expose our heart to those words. Sometimes God has things to say to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to David, to Solomon, to Zacchaeus, to a leper. God has things to say to people which actually speak to us. And if we expose our heart to God's word, we hear from him. Sometimes we have to do some diligent study. And I know that it isn't everybody's cup of tea, and I know that not everybody can, but I would always suggest to you, try and set some time apart in your week to study something in the Bible. You know what? Philemon is a book with about, I don't know, about 20 verses. It's a page in your Bible. And I've got a commentary on Philemon that's an inch thick. And that's just on Philemon. The truth is, there's an awful lot in tiny passages in our Bible. And diligent study reveals it to us. How wonderful that when Jesus saw Zacchaeus, he said to Zacchaeus, "Salvation has come to your house." And you say, well, that's lovely, isn't it? It's good, isn't it? Zacchaeus has got saved. Except when you study the words, and this is something that just popped out to me quite recently, is you study the words and you realise that Jesus is saying, Jesus has come to your house today. Salvation. Jesus. Jesus means salvation. Jesus was having a play on words with Zacchaeus. He was saying, hey Zacchaeus, da-da! Salvation has come to your house today. You know, if you study the word of God, it means so much more. Because you realise these things. Thank God that diligent study works. And by listening. We all used to have tapes in our cars. These days we don't even have CDs, we have MP3s. But you know what? There are lots of ways we can listen. Be it to David Suchet on our Bible app. Or whatever it is. I've got an old set of CDs, which I originally had as an old set of tapes as well, actually, by Stephen B. Stevens, reading the New Testament in the NIV. It's wonderful. I love Stephen B. Stevens' voice. It's absolutely great. But listening to the Word of God brings the breakthrough. Let's allow God to speak to us. So, indulge yourself. Those are a couple of my one-year Bibles up there. There's that one there. That's the one I'm reading at the moment. You can just read it on the page. Or like Ariel, you can let it read to you from your Bible app. You know what? Indulge yourself. As a nation, we have got more translations of the Bible than any other nation on earth. Indulge yourself. We have got so many opportunities to read the Word of God. Listen to it. Read it. Engage with it. The Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. In places of war, you would be happy to have a double-edged sword. If you were cutting up sushi and you were a Japanese chef, you'd be very pleased to have a double-edged sword. Double-edged sword is life-changing. A double-edged sword is a way you can cut out that from your heart which is wrong and allow healing to take place. Indulge yourself in the Word of God. It will make such a change. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our Bibles. We thank you for the multiplicity of ways we can engage with it. We ask you, Lord, that you would create in all of us a hunger that spurs us on so that we'll make time every day to engage with your word. Thank you, Lord, for those who are here this morning, because they are fundamentally those that do engage with the word. But Lord, we pray for your wider church and for the wider city, that the word of God might get to us, might engage with us. We pray for bookshelves that have got Bibles on them that haven't been opened in years. We ask you, Father, that there might be found to be a way in, and that people might engage with your word. Father, we ask you for your kingdom to come in our city, your kingdom to come in this church. We know, Lord, that your word is critical to that happening. And we ask you that your word might come in all of our hearts, powerfully, life-changingly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.